This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to Sports Saturday on this November 21st, really the first cold day of this fall and winter season, the first very cold day. There's a chance of snow in the forecast. And with that cold day, we bring the football season is nearing an end, and basketball is just getting underway. We have some scores to report from you. The girls started this past week. The boys will start this coming Monday with their Thanksgiving tournaments. The scores from yesterday, Carlinville played Pittsfield. I don't have a score for Pittsfield. 35-19. Carlinville defeated Pittsfield 35-19. Hannah Lair, 13 points for the Lady Cavies. At the Lady Tornado Tournament in Taylorville, Hillsborough defeated Effingham St. Anthony 38-22. Sammy Matouche led the toppers with 17 points, just the freshman point guard, so good start to her high school basketball career. Also in the Lady Tornado Tournament in Taylorville, the host Taylorville Tornadoes defeated Jacksonville 65-53. In the Payne Attorney last night, Southwestern defeated Centralia 69-34. That's Centralia Christ Our Rock Lutheran. So that score 69-34. Payne defeated Stu Strauss 67-26, and Central A&M defeated Waynesville 45-39. In the second annual Turkey Tussle in the Stuffing Pool, Riverton defeated Tri-Valley 62-24. Mount Pulaski defeated Olympia 42-13, and Porta versus Mount Pulaski, that's in the championship game at 7. In the Lady Redbird Classic in Alton, Calhoun defeated Cahokia 71-26, and Alton defeated Lanphier 59-23. And in the Macomb Tourney, Havana defeated Pleasant Plains. It was a close one. That final score, 43-41. By the way, we've also got high school playoff football today for you. We won't have the broadcast, but there is a playoff game in the area going on. It's at Auburn. Of course, it'll be a cold one there as Nashville plays Auburn. Auburn 9-3 on the season, so is Nashville. Auburn coming off that win over Pena last week, 20-7. So good luck to the Auburn Trojans as they play Nashville in the 2A semifinals today.
Absolutely, and as the football season winds down, the basketball season ramps up, and the Lincolnwood Lancers will tip their season off in the New Berlin tournament beginning on Monday. And joining us right now is the head coach of the Lancers, Matt Milberg. And Matt, as always, thank you for a few minutes of your time today, sir. How's it going?
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me. We had a preview night last night, and we're in here watching film of that last night. And boys are learning what mistakes they made last night and how they can get better for our big week next week, 5 games in 6 days.
That is a lot of ball to start the year. But that preview night at Lincolnwood, that has always been a very special night, has it not?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. Last night was actually extremely special. We had more people in that gym last night than I've ever seen at a preview night, and I've seen a lot of them here over the years with both communities, Morrisonville and our Lincolnwood communities around here. And we had a big crowd, and the boys were really energetic last night, and they played really well.
And so it will be, I guess, this is the first year that the Morrisonville kids are coming over, or is it waiting until next year like the baseball?
No, they're coming over this year. We got 5 coming from the Morrisonville district, and I got 18 total. So we had a nice full gym last night, and the boys were happy to play in front of a big crowd. And, you know, preview night's kind of a struggle sometimes because our best scout team is the boys. So they know the plays, you know, they know what's going to happen, and they try not to cheat on the screens or, you know, things like that. But they did well last night. They got up and down the floor like we wanted them to, and first time in front of a crowd, and it was a rowdy crowd, so we were happy.
And for your first game on Monday, you get the newly consolidated South County Vipers. Tell us how that's going to be.
Yeah, we're going right into the buzzsaw of the first game. I'm sure they're going to be ready to play us. You know, Waverly and Franklin and Lincolnwood, you know, when we played each other in the past, it's always been, you know, a non-football school kind of situation where basketball really is the biggest sports for the school districts. And I think that for us to play that game right there for both of our school districts going in through co-ops is a good matchup. I thought Tim Barth did a good job matching us up in that first game against South County Vipers. So we're going to prepare for them today a little bit, you know, try to see what, you know, we don't have a scatter report on anybody, and, you know, we're not sure about it too much, but we're going to try to do what we do and go off a little bit of what they did last year.
That's really what makes these first few games of the year interesting, because it really does limit your scouting because there's no film. But if you're playing 5 games in 6 days, I guess it's a good year to have some extra kids on the roster.
Yeah, we're addressing 14 boys this year, and we're going to try to get up and down the floor a lot more this year too in transition. And we have those kids that put in the time and extra effort and practice to get to make sure they are ready for this next week. You know, we prepare ourselves too for long bus rides. You know, it's not an easy trip to get to New Berlin from over here. Planning their meals right and making sure that they're getting their homework done, and you know, you have a family time at Thanksgiving. So this next week is one, you know, in my fourth year here at Lincolnwood, you know, this is a tough stretch for us, but it really gets us ready for the rest of the season. In December we usually have a pretty good regular season, and even Christmas runs this year, you know, we usually play well in December, so this is a good stretch for us.
Man, as you sit here just a couple days from the start of the season, who are going to be some of your key contributors for the year?
Well, going into today's practice, you know, a lot of people know we have two talented offensive guards in Brian Graham and Seth Foster. Kyle Thomas is our best defensive player on the floor. And then we're going to probably go into post with senior A.J. Thomas and junior Reese Snyder. I have another junior, Josh Bermuda, off the bench, and 6'7", Matt Mazzara off the bench, and David Pope, Jr. off the bench, Ryan Polkenpohl off the bench, Tanner Milberg off the bench. So, you know, we're going to go pretty deep. We got some juniors, too, that are still learning the system, and, you know, we'll be ready, I think, on Monday.
Some good old traditional Lincolnwood names there.
yeah, they it's funny because they come back around, and the other night we had the Litchfield and Nokomis girls game here, and you can look up to the Nokomis side and you see a Rupert and you see names like that, and they just keep sticking around, and that's what it's all about around this area with basketball.
Well, Matt, I know you got practice going on. We always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings. Thank you so much, and best of luck on Monday night and throughout the year.
Hey, thanks a lot, Tim. Thanks for having me.
All right. Matt Milberg, the head coach of the Lincolnwood Lancers. And, David, it's fitting that we're talking about the Lincolnwood Lancers because we've gotten a very good report on Terry Turtle. Of course, Lincolnwood is T's hometown, and he is out of the hospital.
Yeah, into the Hope Lodge yesterday, got released yesterday. Hopefully will be released to Illinois Wednesday, I believe.
How about that? Yeah. Huh? Wouldn't that be fantastic if T would be back in the area before Thanksgiving?
That'd be great.
That would be fantastic. And we can't wait to get him back behind the microphone. And you know he's chomping at the bit to do just that.
Well, I'm sure he'll stop by. If he's on his way to Illinois on Wednesday, I'm sure he'll stop by.
You heard Matt mention the Nokomis Litchfield game that was at Lincolnwood on Tuesday. Of course, we had the broadcast. Abby Brockmeyer got her 1,000th career point. We're going to talk to Rob Corso a little bit later on in the program. But just personally for me, David, that was it was weird. It was an odd feeling. I've never done a game at Lincolnwood because T always does them.
Yeah.
You know, it's his house. And it felt very strange to me. It was like I was in someone else's shoes, you know. Like, it was just, it felt odd the whole night. Just, it was off. I shouldn't have been there.
You shouldn't have been there. I've done a couple because when I was just basically starting out broadcasting, he asked me to go to Lincolnwood, and that's where I did it. But yeah, I understand. Because the first question is, you know, where's T? Where's T? Because it's got to be. Because, I mean, it's easiest drive for him. So, yeah.
He loves the Lancers.
Oh, yeah.
Loves the Lancers.
He won't call it like that. But, yeah,
no,
he loves the Lancers.
And that's why he's so good, though. That's why he's a Hall of Famer.
That's right.
So, T-Toad out of the hospital. Could be back in Illinois by Wednesday. Thoughts and prayers continuing to go out to Terry Toad as he recovers from his surgery. We do need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. Big football game in the area today. Auburn hosting Nashville, the winner into the state championship the day after Thanksgiving. We're going to be talking about that game here on Sports Saturday. And, of course, we'll continue our basketball preview here on WSMI FM 106.
WSMI Sports Saturday returns this morning on WSMI FM 106.1 alongside Tim Mize. My name is David Jenkins. Let's talk a little bit about area football. We mentioned Auburn plays Nashville in the 2A semifinals today. Winner advancing to the championship game. That'll be played next Friday in DeKalb. A little bit about these two teams. Nashville, 9-3 on the season. In the playoffs, they've beaten two Sangamo Conference teams already, but three if you go back to just a couple years ago, as Nyanic, Sangamon Valley, that other team, they were a Sangamo Conference team just a few years ago.
That is interesting.
Yeah. In week one, they beat New Berlin 31-28. That was a heck of a game as Nashville scored, I believe, with under a minute left to win the game, and that ended New Berlin's season. In week two of the postseason, they defeated Nyanic Sangamon Valley 45-18, and then last week they beat Athens 35-14.
And you know, David, it is interesting that when you get two non-conference teams like this meeting this late in the playoffs, mm-hmm. very rarely are there this many common opponents to where mm-hmm. you can go back and compare.
Yeah, that's right. Especially it works out well for Nashville because they've played the Sangamo Conference teams that Auburn has already played. Auburn hasn't played the teams in the Southern Illinois River to River Mississippi Conference that Nashville is in.
And that's one of them serious Southern football leagues down there. You got DeCoyne, Carterville, and Anna Jonesboro.
Yeah. Nobody with, it looks like, outstanding regular season records. The conference winner was DeCoyne. They finished 4-1 in the conference. Overall, they lost in the first round of the postseason to bring their record to 5-5 on the season. Second place in the conference was Carterville. They were 4-1. They finished the season overall 6-4, so them also a first-round playoff loss. Then you've got Nashville, the third team to make it in that conference to the postseason. 3-2 in the conference, 9-3 right now, so they just a 6-3 regular season. So nothing overwhelming, but obviously very tough non-conference schedule and legitimate conference.
Probably down a little bit by normal Southern Illinois River-to-River conference standards. See, Anna Jonesboro finished 4-5 on the year. But that's one of those deals, David. We see it all the time. The records down there in that part of the state don't really matter a whole heck of a lot because the brand of football, it's serious stuff down there. I mean, they don't mess around. Not to say that around here is not, but people know what I'm saying. It's just different
when you get
down south.
Well, and you say that how good and deep the conference is. Anna Jonesboro finishing last in the conference, as you mentioned, 4-5 record. So last in the conference at 4-5 and a point differential, 243 points they've scored against 186 points they've allowed. So still pretty good.
But it just, Auburn knows and Dave Bates knows what type of football team's coming in. They're certainly not going to be confused or take anything for granted by looking at records because Auburn has the exact same record, and we know that Auburn, by 6-3 standards, is better than your average 6-3 team.
Yep. Obviously, Auburn has not lost since September 18th in overtime when they lost to Sangamo Conference champion North Mac. That was the last game that, you know, they didn't win by more than two touchdowns because they've won every game since by more than two touchdowns. In the playoffs, they beat Shelbyville in the first round 43-21. Second round, they defeated Villa Grove 44-14. And then last week, they defeated top-seeded Pena 20-7 in a defensive battle. So Auburn haven't lost in a while. And obviously, they were on the ropes early on because they started their season 1-3.
You're absolutely right. And when we had Dave Bates on all the way back on the road to the Cowb, he was talking about that, the 1-3 start. But they're just a couple of plays away from being undefeated.
Yeah.
It's always funny, though. You never know how things will work out. If they were undefeated, if they would have won those games earlier in the year when they were so close, everything would have been different for them. Their seed would have been different. Their draw, their path, everything is different. And they might not be sitting where they're at right now. It's just, you never know how it's going to work.
Yeah. Well, they probably would have displaced Pena from that top seed in 2A, the way it looks like. But yeah, as you mentioned, those losses, no blowout losses. Obviously, week one, they lost to Williamsville 31-28 when they had a chance to win it at the end of the game but couldn't complete a pass in the end zone. Week two, they lost to Pleasant Plains 27-26, so just by 1 point. Week three, they beat Athens 27-13. And then week four, we mentioned, they lost to North Mac in overtime 35-28.
So, I mean, people in Auburn know. They've seen them all year long. They're not surprised to see the Trojans sitting here in the state semifinals once again. And just from a selfish, personal perspective, I'm pulling hard for Dave Bates and the Auburn Trojans today to get this win, get him up to the big field. He deserves to be on the sidelines the day after Thanksgiving.
This is semifinal appearance number six.
Number six.
So, yeah, I'll be pulling for him, too. I'm sure everyone here at the station is pulling for Dave Bates to finally get Auburn over the hump and get into that championship game. It would be great for him, too.
It would absolutely be fantastic, and what a year it has been. And they've had a sensational run here. I mean, obviously, over the whole tenure of his, almost 30 years, maybe 30-plus years on the sidelines. But you just go back the last 10 years or so, they have put themselves in this spot several times, and hopefully this is the time they can knock the door down and get it done.
This senior class would have been playing as sophomores 2 years ago when they went to Staunton and lost that heartbreaker in the state semifinals. So this senior class in particular had quite the postseason experience, and they went to the quarters last year. So, I mean, they know all about playing in the postseason.
Yes, they do. Now, we'll see what they know about playing in rain and potentially snow, because it appears that is going to be the type of conditions in play at Auburn this afternoon. Probably going to have – well, the temperature is going to be falling, so it might be in the upper 20s by the time they get there with the wind chill and all that.
And we talked about, you know, North Mac and Pleasant Plains in the first round of the playoffs, the weather being an equalizer. That could be a great equalizer in today's game, obviously. Auburn with a very good quarterback in Drew Chance and a very good receiver in Drew Points, all-stater, mind you, in Drew Points. That may be a bit of a factor today. They may go to more of a ground game. Not that they don't know how to run the ball anyway, but the passing may be light today.
The only difference between those two would just be the temperature. It was a lot warmer that rainy day up in Verdon for North Mac Plains playoff game. It's going to be cold, windy, and wet today in Auburn.
That ball could hurt your hands if it's thrown hard enough.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Speaking of All-Staters, we'll go over some area All-State teams. All-State players, beginning in Class 1A, Cole Brannon, the wide receiver from Carrollton. He's the only area player in Class 1A for All-State, so congratulations to Cole Brannon from Carrollton. In 2A, just one area player as well. As I mentioned, that's Drew Points, the wide receiver defensive back out of Auburn. I believe a two-time All-Stater now, as I think he was an All-Stater last year as well. In Class 3A, a couple of North Mac kids make the All-State team. Big John Myers, the 6'5", 310-pound offensive lineman and defensive tackle, I should say, as well. And then quarterback and kicker, Brennan White from North Mac. Shane Owsley, a couple of his players. Got to be proud to have a couple of them on the All-State team.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, they had such a fantastic year, and it obviously did not end the way they wanted it to end up there in Tolona to Unity, with their first loss being a running clock situation. But take nothing away from the year that North Mac had. And Tolona Unity and St. Joe Ogden, the two teams that knocked North Mac and Carlinville out, they're playing today in the state semifinals in 3A.
And that just seems to be that way every year. Those two teams, I mean, they're conference foes, and they play each other in the postseason just about every year. I mean, it's amazing how many times they play each other in the playoffs.
That'll be a heck of a ball game today.
Of course, St. Joe Ogden obviously won the regular season meeting between those two because they are the undefeated team out of that conference. But Tolona looking for a bit of revenge, and we'll see if they can get it.
Well, I mean, in those situations, a lot of times a team that lost the first game has a distinct advantage going into the second game. We'll see if it plays out that way.
Well, look at, as we mentioned, North Mac and Pleasant Plains. Obviously, Pleasant Plains didn't end up winning the game, but it was significantly closer in that rematch. Other area All-State players in 4A, a couple from Rochester, Kenny Hedges, the running back from Rochester, and then the quarterback, Dan Ziegler from Rochester, 6'4", 210-pound quarterback. And then from Columbia, linebacker Owen Sudkamp is the 4A player. In Class 5A from Highland, Austin Bush, the defensive lineman, and from St. Jacob Triad, from St. Jacob playing at Triad High School, Adam Nelson, the running back, 5'9", 175, or 170-pounder. And then the last All-State area player we have for you, from Sacred Heart Griffin in Class A, Sam Basaninga. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He's a wide receiver, so...
Say it with confidence, David.
Bonasinga. Sam Bonasinga.
There you go.
That's what we'll call him. If you're listening, Sam, my apologies.
And how about that, though, last week, Griffin and Rochester both going down on the same weekend.
It doesn't seem right that, you know, we're in the semis and neither team's alive. It's going to be weird next week in DeKalb with neither of those teams there.
I wonder what the Leonards will do. Been a long time
since
they didn't have a state championship game.
Well, they can actually have Thanksgiving dinner.
They could. What's the fun in that, though?
Yeah.
Talking to Andy Kassenbaum, he's one of the Litchfield girls basketball coaches, one of the assistants, was talking to him before the game on Tuesday. He was down in Belleville.
Oh, yeah?
Saw that Rochester game, and he said it was just lights out, all you could want out of a high school football game, just endlessly entertaining, eventually won by Althoff. I think 46-42.
It was a close
one,
wound
up being the final. But that snapped Rochester's 27-game postseason winning streak.
Rochester, I think they had the ball with a chance to win it at the end, and I think Ziegler threw an interception. And that's how it came to an end. But, yeah, I mean, it's considered an upset by us because Rochester's the five-time defending 4A state champion. But Althoff Catholic, I mean, they're undefeated. They're the number one seed in the bracket for a reason. So
yeah, by this year's standards, not an upset.
Right.
You're right. But when you've won the state tournament 5 years in a row, that's an upset.
And both SHG and Rochester also, I don't know if we mentioned it, they did lose on the road. So
right.
Home field advantage playing a factor there.
Exactly right. On Tuesday night, Nokomis played Litchfield at Lincolnwood High School. It was a home game for Litchfield. Of course, that was in recognition of the Raymond Litchfield Co-op for girls basketballs. Abby Brockmeyer went home to Lincolnwood, scored her 1,000th career point in the victory over Nokomis. When we come back here from this break, we're going to catch up with Litchfield head coach Rob Corso and get his thoughts on the upcoming season for the Litchfield Lady Purple Panthers. We will do that following these messages on Sports Saturday. Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, Tim Mize along with David Jenkins. We'll have Fighting Illini football coming up this morning live at 10 o'clock from what will probably be a snowy Minnesota. We'll have it here on FM 106. And then basketball tonight from Springfield. The Illini will take on Chattanooga live at 6:30 tonight right here on WSMI FM 106. And on Tuesday, we had the game on the radio as Litchfield beat Nokomis 37-31 as the Lady Purple Panthers picked up their first win of the season in the season opener. And joining us right now is their head coach, Rob Corso. And Rob, thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning. How's it going?
It's going very well. Thank you very much.
Well, that was a very fun time Tuesday night at Lincolnwood. Just kind of talk a little bit from the Litchfield team experience, what it was like playing at Lincolnwood on Tuesday.
Well, it just so happens that Abby needed just one basket to get her 1,000th point. And, you know, the game was already scheduled to be at Raymond. We try to play one game on their court every year for the co-op. And it was just an exciting time. Their community rallies around the sports, as you well know. And it was just a lot of fun for everybody.
And, Rob, it was kind of funny how it worked out because the way the season ended last year, I remember in that last game, Abby missed some buckets that she normally puts home 99 times out of 99. But the way it worked out, it was for a reason, I guess.
I guess so. Of course, you know that close game against Aces,
yes.
I would have rather had her do it then. But you know what? We really weren't really aware of it. I mean, maybe she was, but the team wasn't. We were just trying to focus on trying to advance in the state tournament. But, you know, it worked out very well. I'm glad she got to do that. It was just, I'd say, we were a special time for everybody in the community.
Did that build up some kind of anxiety heading into this game that she was just one basket away, or did she just block it out completely?
No, it was on her mind, to be honest with you. She was thinking about it. We were trying to make sure she didn't step on somebody at practice and hurt her ankle or some, you know, crazy thing like that. She could do it in front of her hometown people. Actually, we tried to run a play for her just to get it out of the way. But it just happened in normal course. And happened, I think it was on her first shot, if I'm not mistaken, or second shot anyway. But, no, she was thinking about it.
Rob, let's talk a little bit about your team. Obviously, a very different-looking squad than Litchfield fans have come accustomed to over the last 4 years with that group of seniors gone now. So talk a little bit about the contributions you're going to have to get from your players outside of Abby Brockmeyer.
Yes. You know, with Riley and Tessa averaging around 8 or 9 points a game and Alex at the 6, we got to find some points. Abby Frerichs is a big part of that. She's a senior this year. She's battled through some injuries in the past, and she's really hasn't really been a full-time varsity player, so she's working into that role. Anna Tomac, who had a big bucket against Plains last year, is a big part of it. She's going to need to contribute. And then the kids who are Abby Shelton and Caitlin Hughes, these two seniors who, you know, pretty much didn't get very much varsity time last year, kind of a numbers thing, but they're going to have to contribute. They've been working hard in practice and getting better.
And, Rob, as you look, I guess, at your team this year, is that maybe your biggest concern is finding that consistent second scorer on a nightly basis?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, these girls haven't had that that kind of, you call it, pressure or, you know, had to do that in the past. They're going to have to get that done. There is something to that. Also, our point guard, you know, Tessa ran the point, did a great job for us the last 3 years. Jade Taylor has assumed that role, and she's actually a very, very good point guard. She just has been working into that leadership, or not really a leadership role, but a role where she's handling the ball quite a bit and getting the ball to the right spot. And pretty much as she goes, we're going to go this year.
Rob, what was the biggest takeaway from that first game that your team probably needs to improve on?
Rebounding. We did not rebound well. We came out pretty well, and defensively we were moving. But as the game wore on, the Nokomis kids outworked, especially in the fourth quarter. They got a little run going. They were shooting the ball, and they'd missed some shots, but they were getting some putbacks and things of this nature. And, again, these girls haven't been in that – most of the girls have not been in that situation where they're on the floor, the game's on the line, and that's some things they got to kind of grow into.
You've had some days off here since the win on Tuesday night, and obviously big couple of days coming up here with the Litchfield Thanksgiving Tournament.
Yes, we got a big one tonight. The Mont Isle team is a pretty good squad. They are the junior-laden group. I think most of the kids are juniors. They've been working together since seventh grade. They're a really good group. I believe they're 3-0. The Niehaus girl is going to provide some problems for us, and it's going to be a tough matchup tonight. So, and then Vandalia looks to improve also. It's going to be a good tournament.
And this is a tournament over the years, Rob. I feel like a lot of times it flies under the radar, but this is usually pretty competitive.
It usually is. Last year, us and Carbonville were kind of banging heads. This year, might be Vandalia, Mont Isle, but yeah, it's very competitive. And I say this year, there's two or three teams that could win this one.
And you look at,
and I'm not, oh, you need to speak to Nokomis. They're not bad. You know, some people are kind of looking past them. They're not too bad at all.
And you look at three of the teams specifically in this tournament with you guys, Nokomis and Carlinville, teams that really replaced a good part of their roster. And you look at a team like you mentioned, Mount Olive, where they're probably maybe the most experienced team coming into this tournament, it seems like.
That's a good point you're making right there. Again, you think about in the past, you know, Litchfield, Carlinville, and Nokomis. You're exactly right. And again, with Vandalia, I think they've got pretty much their entire squad back. Maybe they had one senior last year who played a major role, but. It's going to be very entertaining.
Rob, as I look at this game tonight between you and Mount Olive, you can't help, or at least I can't help but think about the potential one-on-one matchup between Abby Brockmeyer and Jill Niehaus. We're talking about two of the better small school basketball players in the area.
Absolutely. The Niehaus girl is multidimensional. I mean, she can handle the ball. She can play inside, outside. Very athletic. It's going to be a tough matchup. That's the thing with Abby. You know, she's a very good athlete, but she's going to have to start working on some defensive things and guarding people on the perimeter a little bit. And it's going to be a great matchup. I'm looking forward to it.
Going to be a lot of fun. Rob, we always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings. We thank you, and best of luck throughout the year.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. Be good.
All right, Rob Corso, the head coach of the Litchfield Lady Purple Panthers, and that is going to be a fun game tonight, them and Mount Olive. That's the 6 o'clock game.
It'll be a very good game. And Mount Olive, obviously, they've had a good season the last couple of years. Look for them to, take that step even further this year with that junior squad. State champions as eighth graders.
That's right. You should have the schedule for Litchfield in there, David. Nokomis plays the second game.
Yes. Litchfield is against Mount Olive. That's at 6. And then Vandalia plays Nokomis. That's right after that. On Monday, Mount Olive will play Carlinville at 6, and Litchfield will follow that against Nokomis, the second matchup already. Of course, as we know from past history, Nokomis and Litchfield face each other quite a bit in the regular season just based on tournaments and everything.
It'll be the second of many.
Second of many, probably at least four. Tuesday, November 24th, Carlinville is against Vandalia at 6, and then Nokomis against Mount Olive in Game 2. A couple of very good games on Tuesday. And then Friday, Litchfield against Vandalia at 6, Nokomis against Carlinville in Game 2. And then next Saturday, the 28th, it wraps up with Vandalia against Mount Olive at 6, and Litchfield and Carlinville in Game 2, so that the Litchfield McDonald's Niehaus Cycle Girls Round Robin Tournament at Litchfield High School. Another tournament going on in the area, the 2015 Lady Tornadoes Thanksgiving Holiday Tournament. We mentioned some games that happened yesterday. Games going on today in that tournament in the Gold Pool, Session 3, beginning at 9 a.m., so that game already going on. That's Mount Zion against Auburn. Tipping off at 10:15, so probably in about 30 minutes, will be Eisenhower against Lincoln. At 11:30 this morning, it'll be Jacksonville against Hillsboro. And then 12:45 this afternoon, Taylorville against St. Anthony. And then later today, we've got Auburn against Eisenhower, St. Anthony against Jacksonville, Lincoln and Mount Zion, and Taylorville against Hillsboro to wrap up the tornado tournament. The pool play of the tornado tournament.
Last night, Carlinville picked up their first win of the year, a road win over at Pittsfield. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of Carlinville, Darren Deneve. Darren, thanks for a few minutes.
You're welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. My first question is, did you swing by Hannibal last night when you were in the area?
Were we in Hannibal? No, we didn't get to Hannibal. I don't know how your geography is, Tim, but that's still another half an hour or so to the river. But we definitely had a long trip, and it was a good trip. It was I enjoy playing Pittsfield. It's a long trip, but it's the first game of the year. It's sort of exciting to get on the bus and go somewhere for your first game.
All I know is, Darren, the times I've been in Pittsfield, the last intersection before the school, there's a sign that says Hannibal, Missouri to the right. It's too close for comfort. Put it that way.
Actually, I lived at Pittsfield for a year. Our first year of marriage, my wife and I, we spent in Pittsfield in 1993, and she was working there, and I was teaching at Jacksonville.
And, you know, Pittsfield, they have very nice facilities, whether it be basketball, football, or baseball.
Absolutely. They take their sports very seriously. You go to that gym, and you look at all the banners they have and so on, and, you know, in particular, their boys' basketball program is one, I think, 17 sectional championships or something crazy like that. And so they really like their basketball and like their sports in general. It's a nice place.
Darren, we just finished talking with Rob Corso and talking about how his team has had to replace some players. Talk a little bit about your team having to replace some pretty good players as well.
Absolutely. Our senior class last year, I added it up, and I don't have the numbers memorized, but there's something. They had maybe like 3,400 points and about 2,500 rebounds and 800 steals and some just crazy 9,000 minutes, I think. And so we have a lot to replace, but we've got a girl. We got a lot of girls with some enthusiasm to play, and it's kind of fun to have a fresh start and see what some other faces can do.
And I guess, you know, Darren, I didn't really thought about that, replacing points, replacing rebounds. Replacing 9,000 minutes, that's a lot.
Oh, man, it is absolutely crazy to think about how much experience. And there were some things going on at the game last night where simple stuff that we do that I had to call time out and explain what we, you know, how we operate, because I've sort of gotten used to the fact the last 3 years at least that most of those girls just sort of know how we call plays or how we line up in a certain situation. Or we were kind of staring at each other at the jump ball. I realized then that I didn't go over how we were going to go over the jump ball. So anyway, we'll figure all that out as the season goes along. It's fun.
Darren, I know you got Marley Schmidt back. I guess she would kind of be the go-to player, at least early, probably.
She is. She's got a lot of experience. She has a tendency to some boys in butt situations. The other young lady in the post is Kate Zachary, who had a great volleyball season, and she played a lot for us last year. After that, we've got some girls that really haven't played much varsity. Hannah Lair had a good game last night in the post. Sydney Bates, you folks would probably remember her sister Savannah. Sydney is a good defender, had a good game last night, and Lydia Albertine is similar to Sydney, actually. Good defender, decent ball handler. Lydia Olroyd is a junior who's got some good minutes in last night as well. So we'll see how it goes. We're going to have to be very balanced. I don't know that we have any for 15, 20 points a game range. We'll have to take what we get and hit some open shots.
It always comes down to it's a make-or-miss game at the end of the day. Darren, you guys are off today at the Litchfield tournament, but you will be in action next week, and you're going to have some pretty good competition there.
Oh, boy. Between Mount Olive and Litchfield both have just absolutely fantastic players, and Niehaus and Brockmeyer and Vandalia is a team that gave us trouble last year, and they've got pretty well all their team back, and Nokomis is always so tough on D, and just, very gritty. So we've got our handful every night next week in Litchfield, and hopefully we'll compete.
I'm sure you will. Darren, we always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings, and best of luck throughout the year, sir.
Sure. One more thought, just because it's interesting. Talisha Scott, who played for us last year, she's in a national championship volleyball game tonight in Arizona for her junior college team at Lincoln Land. So just a shout-out to Talisha, and good luck to her tonight.
Absolutely.
That is awesome.
We had no idea.
Darren, as far as with that in mind, is who would she be on the short list of the best just athletes you've had the privilege to coach basketball with at Carlinville?
Oh, sure. She, she scored over. She's our third all-time leading scorer after Elizabeth Kelly and Andrea Faulty-Card, and school record holder in fields and so on. After Elizabeth, Talisha's on the short list. Megan Staten's on the short list. Kathleen Kelly, I'm going to miss some people, but Savannah Bates was really a good athlete, and Kelsey Card, oh my gosh, so it's hard to pick.
Just think how good they could have been with some coaching.
Yeah, I don't know that I had much to do with any of it, but we've had some good athletes, that's for sure.
Sorry, Darren, is the gym going to be that much quieter without Megan Staten on the floor?
Oh, practice is really quiet, if you want to know the truth, although some of these other girls are picking it up. I'm learning that some of them have a little more I don't know, character to him than I realized. Greg Zachary's pretty funny, and Hannah Lehrer's pretty funny, and so it's kind of fun to, you know, have some new voices in the gym. But, yeah, the bus ride was definitely quiet last night without Megan singing and playing the guitar or whatever else she was doing.
Well, she could sing, though, so that was probably fairly enjoyable.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, it was very entertaining, actually. It never bothered me. It was always fun having her around.
Absolutely. Darren, we always enjoy having you around, and we'll talk to you down the road, sir.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Darren Dineed, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. You know, we've been talking a lot about Thanksgiving tournaments. Christmas will be here before we know it. And, of course, that'll mean our annual stop at the Carlinville Holiday Tournament.
Should
always
have
fun.
Asked who's going to be replacing Lincolnwood, the Lincolnwood boys. Because, obviously, they're at Waverly this year, so have to replace that team in the boys' half of the tournament. So I guess we'll just build
day late and the buck short, David.
Yeah. Should have asked. In hindsight, I thought of it too. I didn't think of it until
what is
you...
Is it Dr. Hindsight or Professor Hindsight or whatever it is? What you should have done.
Well, honestly, I didn't even think about it until you mentioned it after we'd hung up. So maybe he'll text you. I know how close you are.
Perhaps. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment. Back on WSMI Sports Saturday, Fighting Illini football coming up from Minnesota at the top of the hour here on FM 106. And then Fighting Illini basketball tonight from Springfield, hosting Chattanooga live at 6:30 here on FM 106. And David, this will be the second to final game for the Illini in Springfield.
Yep. Next week is the game against Northwestern, and that's at Soldier Field.
That's football.
Were we talking basketball?
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. Clearly I wasn't paying attention.
Clearly not. I said second to last game in Springfield.
Oh,
for the basketball squad.
You said second to last game, and it got me thinking football.
But you're right. Today is Illinois' second to last football game of the year, and they'll wrap up in Chicago, Soldier Field, next week against Northwestern.
Yeah, which we thought they were playing the IHSA State Football Championship game in DeKalb because they were was taken that weekend. But
this is the Illinois. This will be an Illinois home game. So Illinois was scheduled to have a home game. It's just being played in Soldier Field. So schedule-wise, that is exactly the case.
I wonder if they're going to move that to every year, though. Like, if they're going to play that game at Soldier Field every year, because, I mean,
might as well.
Chicago school anyway.
You should.
So, yeah. But, yeah, second to last game at Springfield, I guess, today. And I read that the Illini players hadn't, basically, when they've been in Springfield, they haven't left the facility. Because I guess the hotel is above the Prairie Capital Convention Center, or at least right there. So they haven't.
That's handy.
Yeah, they haven't left that part of Springfield.
Hopefully they can bounce back today, because that was just a crushing way to lose against Providence on Wednesday night. You missed a layup and a putback dunk in the final few seconds, down by a point.
It looks worse because they lost to North Florida in that first game. Obviously, if they would have lost that way and that been the only loss, okay, you lost at Providence by 1 point. But the fact that they lost to North Florida in the first game of the season makes it look even worse.
You know, in that North Florida game, they got down 20 points basically right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And then I think they actually won the second half, but they were just down too big, too early to come back and win the ball game. But coming back like they did against North Dakota State last Sunday, competing like they did on the road in Providence, you can see the signs are there. They've got so many injuries. But between that Jeremy Coleman lands,
Jalen.
And then Malcolm Hill, and when Kendrick Nunn comes back, that trio, that's a very good trio.
Well, and Mike Thorne Jr., the post player that they have, he's pretty good too. I mean, he's at least some size down low. Will probably improve on the scoring from Nana Egwu last year, and probably maybe not be as good defensively, but at least be a force down low.
You just always hate to see injuries play such a factor. Nunn's out, Tate's out. Abrams out for the year.
Black has been...
He's been out, he's back, but he's certainly not 100%.
Right.
But you gotta overcome.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing with a short roster right now, so...
See, they can turn their whole... Well, not that they need to turn their whole season around, because they're fine. Early, the first few games in college basketball aren't going to affect your March standing too much, you know? You can play better, move forward, you'll be fine. They host Notre Dame on what I think will be one of the first games, if not the first game, at the newly renovated Assembly Hall in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. Mm-hmm. That's a chance, national television, for them to come out, new stadium, play well, make a statement.
Well, and they've got a game before that, too, that's part of that Emerald Coast Classic.
UAB.
Well, I'm talking about the team, the game, if they should beat UAB, the winner. I don't remember who they would
face. Iowa State or Virginia Tech.
I don't know much about Virginia Tech, but Iowa State's been one of the classes of the Big 12 the last few years.
They're top 10.
Yeah, so if they could play Iowa State and if they could pull off an upset, I mean, that would definitely go a long way as well.
It would, absolutely.
It would kind of erase that North Florida loss.
Illinois, everything that Illinois wants to do is still very much in front of them. You know, it's not college football. If you lose the first game of the year to a directional school, you're toast.
Yeah.
Basketball, it doesn't really much matter, you know?
Yeah, like you've said, play well in the Big Ten, and the non-conference will essentially, I mean, not that it won't matter, but it'll take care of itself.
But it won't really matter. I mean, if you go into the Big Ten and you finish in the upper half of that league and you're above 500 in what is year in, year out, probably the best and deepest basketball league in the country, you're going to be fine.
Five teams ranked in the top 25, I believe. From the Big Ten.
Wisconsin is down this year, though.
Yeah.
They lost again last night.
Did they really? Who'd they play?
Georgetown.
That's better loss than Western Illinois, though.
This is true. This is true.
That's not a good start to the Bo Ryan's final season, though.
He should have retired, I guess.
I guess.
He thought about it. And see, that is kind of the old school traditional program to where they had the senior-laden club. The last couple of years with the upperclassman Kaminsky and that crew, he didn't have one and done type of players coming in to fill in for those guys after the fact. So now he's back to building a team again. And, you know, in 2 to 3 years, he hopes to have a club like he had last year.
Well, and I think he might have expected Sam Decker to be back as well for his senior season. But Decker had the tournament run that he had that propelled him into a lottery pick in the NBA. So why not? Why not go to the draft? So that was another player you lost, as an underclassman. So, yeah, replacing quite the roster that he had. So, but they'll still be at the top of the Big Ten Conference once conference play is concluded.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I wonder if the new rules will hurt a team like Wisconsin because it's a faster-paced game.
You talking more shot clock?
Yeah, shot clock, shorter shot clock, just a faster-paced game. I just wonder if that might have a role to play.
It's a good question. It could. You wonder how it'll affect really all the teams in the Big Ten Conference. Of course, Michigan State off to a very good start. They got a win over Kansas earlier this week. Of course, Kansas and Michigan State and Duke and Kentucky, those four teams always seem to play each other early on in the non-conference schedule to build up their postseason resume, and, you know, obviously so. So, yeah, the Big Ten Conference, very intriguing, and the Illini, they've got a tough slate ahead of them, especially since they're such a mysterious team with all these injuries. And Tim mentioned Jalen Coleman-Lanz looks like the real deal as a freshman. You hope. I would imagine he's obviously too early to tell, but hopefully he sticks around for more than just his freshman year. You hope he doesn't propel himself into a lottery pick and force himself into the NBA draft. You really want John Gross to be able to build that program because right now John Gross is kind of his seat's getting very warm. It could be unfair to say that just because of the injuries that he's had right now, but they did not have a good end to the season last year with the way they ended their regular season, flaming out against Michigan in the Big Ten tournament and then absolutely not showing up at Alabama in the NIT in probably the most disgraceful performance Illini basketball has had under Coach John Gross. His seat was kind of warm there, but with that loss against North Florida and with, you know, the season that's gotten off to the start that it has in the first three games, you wonder if Illini struggle again this season and don't make the Big Ten tournament, if his job will be up in the air at the end of the season. John Gross, that is.
Hey, it's big-time college athletics.
It is. Plus, the Illini have replaced their athletic director, and as we all know, the athletic directors always want to bring in their own guys. So
yeah, once the AD goes, every coach who was hired by that AD is on high alert.
Yep.
There's no doubt about that.
So maybe even that puts even more pressure on John Gross to have a great year and absolutely get into the tournament. Because if he gets to the if he goes to the NIT again, then he's probably in trouble. But if he gets to the NCAA tournament, his job is probably safe.
It's amazing how not just Illinois, all colleges, how short of a leash they give all of these coaches. You know, oh, you didn't turn around in a year, get out.
Yeah. Well, this is what, the first year with all his guys, or do we still have one more year?
I think this would basically be the first year.
Yeah.
And now, of course, he's got a bunch of injuries to deal.
Exactly. He's done a great job, especially recruiting. I mean, he's been fantastic because the talent of players they've had is certainly up from what they've had in a while. But it's, as you said, it's just the injuries have been terrible, and they've depleted the team at the wrong time. And especially a guy like Kendrick Nunn, who you're not going to basically get back until the Big Ten Conference starts.
Yeah.
And no chance to rehab.
Disappointing,
yeah,
to say the least. We've got the Illini coming up 2 minutes here on FM 106. Football from Minnesota today. And, of course, Auburn and Nashville in the 2A state football semifinals. A 2 o'clock kickoff this afternoon in Auburn. Going to be a windy, rainy mess.
Possible snow.
Possible snow.
Yeah. So, cold. It'll be cold.
Mm.
It's just going to be cold. So hold on to that ball.
So just think back to the early season games when it was so hot, if you're sitting outside there today.
That's right.
When it's not hot. Yep.
I have no question the atmosphere will be fantastic, though.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. I saw a tweet earlier from the Auburn Trojans feed that there was already cars showing up like 20 to 9. Yeah.
Amazing.
It's going to be raucous.
They're ready.
I mean, that place is wild just on a regular game, you know, for a regular week three game.
Well, we talked to Dave Kane about it last week. I mean, they've had so many semifinal appearances in football, but when was the last time it was at home? It's been a while.
It's been a few years.
Because Staunton's, that was at Staunton, and that was 2013. I don't remember the last time before that. I'd have to look it up quickly, but I don't know if I had enough time to look it up.
It's been a little while.
Yeah. Forget it. It's been a while. It's been long enough.
It doesn't
this
matter.
Class has the, not. The this group of players hasn't experienced it.
All that matters is this team, this year, today.
They're good.
They are good.
Who would have thought after that 1-3 start they'd be in the 2A semifinals?
Dave Bates might have.
Yeah. And his team might have.
Absolutely.
They might have been the only ones, but that's all that matters.
Good luck to the Auburn Trojans as they will look to punch their ticket into the state championship game. They will kick it off at 2 o'clock this afternoon in Auburn. Sports Saturday is done for David Jenkins. I am Tim Mize here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. We've got Fighting Illini basketball tonight from Springfield. That is live at 6:30 here on FM 106. Coming up next, Fighting Illini football from Minnesota here on WQSMI.